The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
She's an Olympic champion. He is a two-time Olympian. Together, they're figure skating royalty. Turned NBC commentators. And now, they're pop culture icons. But more importantly, they're best friends. NBC presents Tara and Johnny. Here's Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Hi, guys.
Wow. Hi. It's been a really crazy and busy week, I feel like, for the two of us.
It has. We went to Florida.
Yeah.
We had a surprise lip-sync battle. we'll talk about that later. Why don't we talk about Florida? Let's get right into it.
Yeah, okay. So guys, all the stories, they kind of flow together, which is why we're going to start at the beginning, a very good place to start, and go through sort of what has happened to us in the last week.
Right. So we go to Florida. We're there for... Johnny, I also want to let you know, do you know what episode this is?
50 episodes, everybody.
Yes, 50.
We don't have much more than skid marks and a buffalo nickel for our efforts, but we're up to 50 episodes. We're so thankful for you all for letting us have a podcast for 50 episodes.
Yes, it's kind of amazing. So we went to Florida. We were there for NBC. We were doing sort of this round table with Mike Tirico. Very, very early in the morning, around 7 a.m. for, I think it was called the ANA conference.
ANA. So it's, guys, it's the National Association of Advertisers, I believe. I'm sure that's wrong. But anyway, it's advertising people. And NBC has the Super Bowl and the beginning of the Olympics all in one week in February. And then Telemundo, which is under the NBC umbrella, has the World Cup. So we were there basically to rah-rah these advertisers to buy commercials and to advertise with us, whether locally or nationally, on their NBC stations during that stuff. And Tara and I were just a sort of, you know, fun little piece of cake that they got to enjoy in addition to all of their conferences and money talking and all that craziness.
Hardcore
but that's
meetings.
What we were doing.
Yeah, so we were there, and we went to Disney the day before on our day off, and it was so much fun. I was shaking. Getting there.
Okay, so this is the thing. Tara had organized all of this and tricked me into coming down a day early for Disney World. And as many of our listeners know, I'm not much of, despite being a mother, I'm not much one for childhood activities. I like to go shopping and I like to get drunk. That's kind of like my favorite things to do. So this is definitely way out of left field. But, you know, when your daughter really wants to do something, you take her
sacrifice.
And you do it. You got to sacrifice. But it ended up being a fantastic day. I mean, there were a few little things that
funny
I was just
things.
Like silly things
that
caught me
off
guard.
It's not Johnny's cup of tea.
It's not my kind of fun.
No.
I'll say that.
It's not your kind of fun. But what I said when we left, and I don't know if you feel that way, like going somewhere like that is so extraordinary in a way that it's different and so unique than anything else you were going to do, whether it's shopping or something you love to do, right? Like it's one of those experiences that you don't do every day, and you're sort of transported into this little world where everyone's on the same page and, you know, it's all about the kids and make-believe and imagination. And there's something I love about that.
I mean,
walking away from it, yes, like, you know, even me now at like in my 30s.
Well, you had a messed up childhood.
So
you didn't get to be Disney enough.
I agreed. But even, you know, at 35, I so enjoy doing all of those things. But I get how, like, I can imagine if you're a parent and you, like, go for more than one day and you're there for, you know, 7 days and then you come back and you do that again next year, or you live close to Disneyland or Disney World and your kids want to go every day, like, that's got to be a lot, you know.
Yeah.
About the lines.
The
heat, the whole thing. But
I mean, Disney treated us amazing. They gave us a VIP package, and we were really treated like stars when we were there. And they did a really nice thing by us.
Yeah, it was so fun. And all the rides, like, everything changed, it made us feel very old. So it's like all the rides that I thought would be there, like Snow White or the Toad ride or Dumbo, is now flying in a different area. And there's another Dumbo ride right next to him, and it's confusing.
So
everything changed.
what we learned is that Disney changed out a lot of the rides and characters that are around just because kids nowadays haven't really possibly seen Snow White, but they have seen Frozen, for example.
Right. So
Frozen's
Snow White's
everywhere.
No longer in the shows.
Yeah,
it's
Snow
now
White
Elsa.
Is not performing in front of the, what is that, the Magic Castle?
That's in front of the castle, yeah.
In front of the castle. But, okay, so we did a full day of Disney Worlding, and Tara was shaking somewhat uncontrollably when we got there. And then we got out and we met, you know, the people that meted us backstage, because as soon as you cross these sort of ugly back gates, you're in the park, and that's considered on stage. So then everything is real. Tinkerbell is real. That Dumbo ride, each Dumbo elephant is Dumbo, the real one, which is something that took me a minute to get, because I was just looking at these things like, well, how'd they do that? Well, are we in an elevator? What's going on?
Right,
like,
right.
It just, you know, I wanted to know nuts and bolts, but you have to just submit and make believe and play pretend. The first thing we did was a meet and greet with Tinkerbell.
Right. And Tink has a lot of energy.
Wow.
That's all I will say is Tink
okay, so Tinkerbell
has so much energy.
So we learned that there are several Tinkerbells that work per day. And every 45 minutes or so, the Tinkerbells will change out. And it seemed very competitive. And like it's like figure skating. We saw two different Elsas walking into the park as we were leaving, but walking on opposite sides of the street, not looking at one another, because to be the Elsa and to be in the commercials and stuff, it's a big competition. So Tinkerbell didn't even break character once, which I think a great
either she thought we were, you know, children, which is not the case, or she's just really good at her job.
Well, I think just with your size, honey, you can really easily confuse people. You're just very small, and your face was so lit up and glowing. I mean, you
she
weren't a
confused.
Day over 11. Yeah, she was. You confused Tinkerbell. But she had all these props, and she did the baby voice and, you know, the whole thing, and it's super enjoyable for a kid.
Right.
For me, I just sort of wanted to get into the grit of the park and just start riding stuff.
Yeah. And so I
how
feel...
dirty is it? Enjoy the area.
Enjoy
Disney
area.
World.
What's funny is my favorite rides are still the real, you know, baby
classics.
Ones. Yeah, like Peter Pan. I enjoy
it's
small
a small
world. I mean, I really do. So I think that we did every ride we could have possibly done.
Except the upside down roller coasters. Those scare us.
We don't go on anything dangerous. Or too adventurous. Put us on Peter Pan and we're good.
There was an unexpected log flume moment in the Frozen ride at Epcot Center.
Oh, so then we moved over to Epcot.
That was after party. Yeah.
Right. And there was the Frozen ride that we went on twice because it was so much fun. And the first time, Johnny and I forgot to sing. So we... So we had to jump back on and do it again.
My favorite ride was also in Epcot, but it was Soarin'. Okay, Soarin' like flying over, soaring like an eagle soars. It's not Soarin' like the Eye of Soarin' from Lord of the Rings. But it was
good.
Epic. So you sit in, you're basically in this big sort of IMAX theater, and you sit in rows that all lift 30 feet off
the
floor.
It's like you're on this like ski lift.
It's like a ski lift height. And we weren't quite sure about it. I had to put our handbag underneath my seat so it wouldn't fly away. But the ride moves and bends as though you're flying over the world. So you fly over Mount Everest and you barely get over the peak.
And then
you really feel like you're there.
Down and your stomach drops, even though you're not obviously doing anything. It's one of those like weird things where you're like, I know I'm not moving. So
why am I scared?
Yeah, why am I screaming?
But it takes you all around the world. You fly into Epcot. You go over Fiji. You fly over the Serengeti. And while you're flying over the Serengeti, there's a perfume moment where it smells grasslands, which I loved.
I forgot about that.
Yeah,
really, it just hit it hit all the senses. We did the Frozen ride. And then we realized what we probably should have done is like, you see all these people in shirts about, you know, it says something about getting drunk at Epcot. And I kind of forgot that all the
Epcot's
different
where you party.
All the different countries, you know, you eat, you drink, and, you know, this is not the Magic Kingdom. Like, you just see adults there drinking and just, you know, going
drunk
from one country to the next. And we were completely sober.
We were. And by that point, guys, I'm not much of a walker. I like to do Pilates and ice skate, and I drive or am driven. And I am not a big fan of walking. I diet enough. I don't need to walk everywhere. But my shins and my forelegs were so sore from walking my daughter around two parks all in one day.
We're going to the Four Seasons for dinner.
By the time we got to Japan at Epcot Center, I was like, okay, we saw it. Now let's go eat.
And we had the most amazing dinner. It was probably like one of our top five dinners we've ever had traveling.
Yeah, and we've had some doozies. I mean, it's really hard to beat that place we went to in Colorado. What was that called? That Italian place.
That was
Maggiano's. No, Maggiano's, we just held court really hard. And the food you know, it was a chain restaurant. So the food was a chain restaurant. But this, the Four Seasons, they really sold Tara and I. So we did a whole day of beautiful Disney, Kiddyland sort of let's be kids again things. And then we had an amazing tour guide. And we were just like, just take it to the Four Seasons. And they flew in all of their wheat and pastas from Italy. They had a butcher on premises, so you were getting the freshest, best cuts of meat from this dude that's Italian, and he knows how to cut a meat. And oh gosh, it was so delicious. That was the highlight, definitely, of the day for me.
It was,
aside from Soren and spending the day together.
So good. And the best part, I think, overall, is that we can say we did Disney together, Johnny. We travel a lot together, and I feel like, oh, we're either stuck in a hotel or arena, and we've been to every city in the country multiple times. So we've seen places, but we've never done Disney together. So that was special.
I think something really special about our friendship is that we can revert into playful childhood sort of personalities when we're together. And the best fun that we usually have, I mean, Tara and I rarely can go to Neiman Marcus together because we're such good shoppers on our own. Like, why bring somebody else into it? So when we're someplace, we do things that are for like teenage kids. So we'll go to a movie, which I don't go to movies with anybody except Tara, my mother sometimes, because I'm cool like that. We go to the yogurt shop and load and get sugar high.
Right.
We do things like going to Disney World. And it was special for me to enjoy that with you because I definitely would not have gone on my own accord or with any other friend in my life.
Good.
With you. Wait, how about that Jungle Cruise driver, though?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be honest. Everything was amazing, but we got a guide that, you know, if you guys are familiar with this ride, it's jokes nonstop. But he was a bit off, no?
Yeah, he joked with the people on the ride so you couldn't actually enjoy the animals and stuff that you were passing by.
But the jokes were so forced, and then he like points people out and they weren't really into it, and then it just is super awkward, and then he has to come up with a joke why nobody's into his jokes. It was just like one of those slightly just a bit off, you know?
He was not good. Yeah, but that was the one ride I remember from my childhood.
On his game.
And I really wanted to go on that just because it would be funny for me to – it's the one ride I remember from Disney World from being little. And it's all the animals, and you do this Jungle Cruise, and there's hippos and elephants, and there's a person on the side with shrunken heads. And it's just like a whole fantasy land for an animal crazy person like I was when I was little. I used to line up like plastic tigers and stuff on the fireplace and then put them all away perfectly in their boxes with tissue paper. But, you know, that was my jam when I was little, and I loved that ride. So this guy, he just kind of ruined it. But anyway, I feel like we need to leave Disney World and get into Fan Corner's fan call.
Okay.
But first, there's one Fan Corner moment that somebody wrote us on Instagram direct at Tara and Johnny. Somebody called S.E. Johns 86, and it was really cute, and I want to share it before we get into fan call with Cassie. But S.E. Johns says that she was binging the podcast, and as you and I were wrapping up the podcast, her 22-month-old baby waved at the speaker and said, bye, the way you and I do.
I love that.
So I thought that was really cute. All right, so... Okay, guys, just as a recap for last week, our
fan call request
that we had you guys all write to Tara and Johnny fancall@gmail.com was to tell us your wildest or funniest or most embarrassing wedding story, basically your most outrageous wedding story that you may have. And with hundreds and thousands and millions of entries this week, Tara and I selected a little lady named Cassie's story. So let's get her on the line and she'll tell us.
Hello?
Cassie?
Hi, Cassie.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
I am so excited to talk to you all.
We're excited to talk to you.
Johnny
and I just say the same thing in unison.
Yeah. We're being politically correct. But ultimately, we're super excited to have you on our podcast. Thank you for being a loyal listener. Have you heard all of them? Because this is the 50th episode, you know.
I have listened to every single one.
No way.
Yay!
I love that.
I listened to it in Rio. I was so sad when Tara's travels abroad took you all away from me this summer.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. Never
I apologize
again.
For my small friend, yes. Now, so tell us a bit about yourself, where you're from, who you are, what you do, that kind of stuff.
Well, I live in Louisville, Kentucky, which you all come every year for the Derby.
What?
Yes, it's amazing. I love me some horse racing and bourbon.
Yes.
But I am a retail store manager. I run a retail store, so that's kind of my life. I'm 29 and just kind of, yeah, I sell Apple products at my store. So it's pretty, it's
Did you
pretty
grow up,
good deal.
Are you from Kentucky?
Yeah, born and raised.
Oh,
well done.
Look at that.
We love going down for the Derby. We always have the best time and just how Louisville puts on the Derby is, it's incredible. The whole city kind of stands up
and so into
it.
My boss is in, like, because my company's based out of Salt Lake City. They do not understand that, like, we should be closed. Like, you know, no
it's
one,
a,
like,
it's a
the whole city shuts down. The whole city shuts down.
Everyone is drunk.
School is out. I mean, the kids get school off on Oaks Day on Friday. Like, I think we're the only place in the country where we give kids the day off school so we can all drink and gamble.
Yes.
Johnny, maybe you should move to Kentucky.
No, I mean, I enjoy Kentucky. I enjoy our time there. But, you know, I'm not a Southern belle enough for the South, I don't think.
No, you also need it where it's cold all the time.
Yeah, I need.
Yeah, it's not get cold enough
this.
Here, unfortunately. I am more of a Johnny than a Tara when it comes to seasons.
Yes, ma'am.
It gets too hot and not cold enough.
Yeah, well.
How about Lady Antebellum a couple of years ago at the Derby just singing through that rainstorm? That still is my favorite Derby memory. I mean, aside from hanging out with Tara.
Right.
Okay.
Thanks. good cover.
You're welcome.
The one time we weren't together and it was raining and we... Okay, anyways, moving on. Let's calm down.
Okay, so that's our own stuff, Cassie. Don't you worry. So you were at a wedding. So, guys, again, we had Cassie write us her craziest and silliest and most dramatic wedding story at TaraAndJohnnyFanCall@gmail.com. And she told us a real doozy of a story about this wedding. So, Cassie, why don't you tell the kids your story?
Oh, man, when you all said you wanted wedding stories, I knew I had the story. So, this is technically my second cousin's wedding, but we'll just say cousin because it's cheap, because it's easier. But first of all, it was in the North Georgia mountains.
Nice.
And they say that it is Georgia's Lake Como, but Tara, I'm pretty confident that it is not the same as where you are this summer, just from experiencing it. It was extraordinarily hot and humid with zero cell service. So mommy doesn't like to sweat, so it was just not good in that regard. We'd already set a poor scene. But so the biggest thing is that the parents of the couple hate each other, like hate each other so much.
Well, that's
and
fun.
They've been fighting this
day
whole
of love.
Time.
Okay, keep going. Sorry, sometimes we interject.
We just have asides that sometimes we have to throw out there, just so you don't forget we're here. We want you to feel like you're telling people a story, and Tara and I are your people. So anyway, continue.
So
we're in the mountains.
Other,
it's hot.
And like one side, the bright side are like these fundamentalist Christians. Like, they're against drinking. They're against everyone. They're always, like, but they're, like, the angry kind of Christian where they're telling everyone they're going to hell for everything they do that's, like, nice and fun. So they're just, like, angry at life, and everyone's in trouble. Like, no one is as good as them. So the parents hate each other and have been at war the entire time. So we start at the rehearsal dinner, and since my mom is best friends with her cousin, who is the mother of the groom, I was, of course, at the power tables. And so was firsthand witness to the best of the drama. And so at the rehearsal dinner, they're like at each other's throats.
Sorry, power table is like the bride and groom table, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Tara, why didn't we call it the power table at your wedding?
I don't know. I missed out on that one.
Yeah, power table. Okay, continue.
Yeah, and they were, so the bride's parents are, like, very anti-drinking, but my side of the family is pro-drinking. So at the rehearsal dinner, you know, that's their party. They do it as they see fit. So lots of booze. It was great. Open bar, top shelf bar, everybody was loving it. So they were, so her side of the family is very angry. They've sequestered themselves in the corner. They've said very horrible things to the mother of the groom. The mother of the groom, like,
they said horrible things at the rehearsal dinner.
At the rehearsal dinner, and telling her how she's horrible and how this whole thing is an abomination and how sinful they are. So the mother of the groom starts crying. Part of the way through the appetizer, she flees. And my mother flees after her. So we're all just trying to, you know, go on about our merry way and kind of pretend nothing's happening. So then it's like getting time for toast and, you know, food is being eaten. So they go to find them, can't find them. This town is about 2 people population. We cannot find them on the street. So we finally get them back. And then during toast, I don't know if this is what you all do, but in most of like my family's weddings, what we do most of the toast at the rehearsal dinner. So the father of the groom gives his toast. And then anyone who wants to get up and speak kind of gives their own toast, talks about the couple, all of that stuff.
Right, we did that too.
Yeah, well, the bride's family has sequestered themselves in the corner and are so angry and, like, staring at everyone. They're like, all these people are getting up and talking, but it's all people who are friends with the groom. And so no one is being said about her. Nothing is being said about her except for, like, oh, they love each other, but people are talking about how great he is and, like, all these stories. And then it's just like, yeah, and then he met Victoria.
So I need to ask a question. So did the bride side of the family know there was going to be booze at the rehearsal dinner?
Oh, yes, they did. Oh,
so
they
it
did.
Wasn't a surprise.
They knew that.
They were just still upset about it.
Oh, so upset. And okay. So, yeah, and it was so it was really awkward. And so we finally have the mother of the groom back. Everybody's in the same place, but we have, like, 2 different corners of people. And then the rehearsal dinner ends, you know, very dramatic, but then here comes the wedding day. So we get to the church early. First of all, my sister's in the wedding, which I tell her that's what she gets for, you know, being well-liked and stuff. She has to be in weddings.
That's exactly how I feel when I get invited to be in wedding.
Yeah, like,
and so
damn,
she has to hang
nice.
Out with this girl who she damn doesn't it. Like. She hates her. And this girl doesn't really have any friends, so she asked a bunch of random people she kind of knew to be bridesmaids in the wedding. So no one knows each other. And
She asked her barista at Starbucks to stand up with her at the wedding?
Basically, she asked one of her, it seems to be husband's friend, friend's wife to be in it, but her husband isn't even a groomsman. Like, they just went to dinner, like, twice, and so she asked her to be in the wedding. Like, she just didn't have anyone to be in the wedding, but he had, like, 1 million people. So she had to, like, fill out the altar.
Poor Todd.
I know, I had, like, 92 people.
Yeah, Tara had an entire, like, Boeing 777 sitting up there with her.
But she made it look so good.
But wait, tell me, though, does Victoria, the bride, is she a nice person, or is she kind of like her family a bit?
The pilgrims. She's kind of quiet. My sister doesn't like her. And my sister likes most people. She's, like, nice. I'm not as nice. But she likes most people.
So she's the golden retriever lab that in the family. And you're more the bulldog.
Exactly. And so finally, the ceremony does happen. We are all, I mean, thank God they didn't ask, like, if anyone objects, because I swear the whole church would have stood up. I think the whole church would have stood up. But, you know, they finally get married. And so then we go to the reception. Like I said, They're very fundamentalist Christian. They're against alcohol. Well, my family is pro-alcohol and a couple drinks. And at first they were going to be like, okay, we respect that. But then the couple, then they got into it so much before the wedding, they're like, no, we're going to have our own private bar. And our people are going to know where it is, and we're going to have our own alcohol. And the couple knew about it and said that was okay. So they knew. This was not a secret to them. And they're like, that's fine, because they wanted to drink too. It was just her family that didn't. So there's like, it's kind of confusing to explain the venue, but basically if you go upstairs and onto the deck, there's this little room, which we had turned into like
the bar.
Like alcohol for days. So much alcohol.
So there was a broom closet with moonshine in it.
Basically. And so, yeah. I mean, and they have like these cute, like monogrammed cups. So it's not people walking around in solo cups. Like they, I mean, they were like really cute cups that everyone had. And so everyone's walking around drinking, because now even the people who like weren't drinking, they figure out what's going on. They're like, where's the booze? And so it's like prohibition era. And so the mother of the bride is like stalking around the whole time, like sniffing it out. Like, where is it? Where is it? Trying to figure out where the alcohol is. Like, she's so angry, asking people, and everybody's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, I'm just sitting there drinking some wine because, you know, I mean, it's basically Jesus juice, so I felt like I was good. So yeah.
Can I have an imagery of the mother of the groom, mother of the bride? Was she in, like, full bonnet and gloves, like
no,
Little House on the Prairie? That's how I'm picturing
blue
her.
Dress, stretch fabric that she said was very forgiving. Very hairsprayed big hair.
Big hair.
Was her cleavage out?
No.
Okay. Because I often find that the most Bible thumping Christians that I've had, because, you know, I'm a gay dude, so I've had some interludes with really against gay dude people. And they usually are the ones showing the most cleavage and the most drunk behind the scenes. But anyway, continue. Now we know she was wearing a blue dress.
Yeah, blue dress. She said it was very forgiving because it was a stretch fabric.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she told my sister. My sister disagreed. But so she's trying to find it. She's trying to find everything, and she can't find it. So finally, she decides she's going to call the police and get this shut down. So she calls the police.
She's getting her son's or her daughter's wedding shut down.
trying to get the alcohol shut down. So she calls the police, and then she throws a fit when the police gets there because they didn't bring the paddy wagon because she wanted everyone who was drinking arrested. And the police say, you know, this isn't the 1920s. Like, you can't arrest people from drinking. Everyone's overage. Like, no one's like overly intoxicated. You know, nothing is illegal. And so she throws a whole big fit with the police. And so then they get into it with the parents of the groom get into it, and she starts screaming in front of the whole reception about how horrible they are and all this stuff. Well, the mother of the groom is a small, fiery woman. Let's just put it that way. She's of short stature and, you know, got that kind of firecracker personality. So she just lays into her, and she takes her beer, and she's about to pour it over her head, and her husband grabs her arm and yanks it down. In his words, he had seen that move before, and so he needed to stop that from happening. So finally, the parents of the bride retreat from the wedding altogether, leave their daughter's wedding, and then they pull the plug early on the band. Everyone else is having a swell time. The bride's brothers were drinking, taking shots, like... it was great.
As one does at a wedding.
It ended up, everyone there was having fun, but there was just, like, everyone was screaming and,
it's just so
crazy.
Sad that the parents of the, you know, of the bride literally shut down their daughter's wedding.
Yeah, in the middle of it, they also, like, took the couple out and lectured them. And they're, like, in the middle of their wedding, like, out of their reception, they disappeared for, like, 45 minutes.
Oh my goodness, Johnny! I'm just so glad that this didn't happen at like.
Wait,
no
I didn't pull.
Big catastrophe happened at my wedding.
I didn't pull you and Todd out of your ceremony and tell you about good life choices.
No, you didn't.
That didn't happen.
No,
that wasn't me.
Okay. It was not you.
All right,
Cassie, yeah, we're so glad you came on and told us this story. It makes me just so grateful that I got through my day without anything too crazy.
Cassie, we can't thank you enough for being a part of the podcast and for calling in and telling us your story. And I hope nobody in the family gets mad at you.
Or married again.
I'm like the last person to get married, so we'll see.
Don't do it.
No, do it. It's good.
Do it. It's fabulous. But
well, thanks, guys, for having me on.
Oh, my goodness. Thank
you for
listening.
Have a fantastic rest of your day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. Honey, we have a new topic for next week's fan call.
We do.
And our request is for you guys to write us at Tara and Johnny fan call, call with a K, at gmail.com. And tell us your most horrifying or outrageous travel story. Tara and I have gotten into it several times on this podcast about, you know, I flew back from Russia once with less engines than needed to be, so we'd fly real low. Tara has some light chop stories that she's gone through. But we basically want to know your travel snafus, where you got stuck, what sort of crazy...
I mean, maybe, you know, I'll be the one writing in soon since my bi-coastal lifestyle starts up again.
Yeah, guys, we start broadcasting figure skating season again next
weekend. Who's excited?
Next
weekend.
We're really excited, and Tara's super excited to fly back and forth across the country every week for the next 6 weeks.
I cannot wait.
But anyway, write us your most outrageous travel story, and we'd love to interview you on our podcast next week. But for now, we need to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk to you about how we started to learn to do slut squats. Be right back.
Come watch me take on the British champion George Feeney here on NBC Sports World.
Plus, the World Pro Figure Skating Championship featuring Linda Frattiani and Dorothy Hamill, only on NBC Sports World.
Hit it. I wanna rock right now. I wanna rock right now. I'm Rob Bass and I came to get down. Get down. Get down.
Okay, so Jay, we are back, and we need to fill people in on what we did this past weekend.
Okay, so we can only give you guys certain details because the show that we filmed, Lip Sync Battle, won't air until much later, and we can't let you know
exactly
who the winner was, what our song choices were, but we can tell you about the
outfits.
Experience.
We're kind of amazing. Okay.
So essentially, we were in Florida.
We got a call, and they were like, do you want to do... lip sync battle. And
but basically they tricked us. They tricked us because they told I was traveling, Tara was traveling from Chicago to get to Orlando for Disney World and for the conference. And they told Tara's people that I had already said yes, and they told my people that Tara had already said yes. But meanwhile, neither of us even knew that we were being considered for this position.
Correct.
So they tricked us into, you know, full-blown panic, essentially.
Right.
Honey,
because,
continue.
You know, I'm assuming that most people on the show have a few weeks heads up or whatnot. There's even, we realize, like, some people come in, rehearse, and then come back and tape the next day. This was, like, a very much, it was very much different. So it's, like, Thursday, get the call. You need to be here on Saturday. We're filming. We're done by 6 p.m.
Yeah.
So
Johnny has to fly all the way from Philadelphia to Los Angeles. Tara was back a day before me, but essentially we had no time
to think about
what we were going to do. But for those of you out there who don't know what lip sync battle is, and believe me, honey, I feel like everyone should know what it is, especially since we're going to be on it. But not everyone does.
But so if you look up clips, you have to. If you have not seen the show, just go on YouTube and look up some clips because there's some amazing past performances.
Yeah, look up Channing Tatum lip sync battle where he does Beyonce and Beyonce actually comes out on stage with him at the end. But essentially the premise is you lip sync to a song. There are two performances. One is kind of dressed down when you're in your street clothes and you just lip sync and sort of dance around and perform. While the second performance is usually the one that's all over the viral internet. And
big production. Okay, so what it is you go to set, and it's amazing. You have this beautiful dressing room, and there's like a...
to the studio.
The studio, they have this backstage area where they film a lot of stuff, and there's like a bar, and like everything's sort of really in character, and it's, you can tell it's going to be a fun, sort of relaxed day. I mean, we were busy, but like the vibe of the show is it's not this strict... you know, kind of feel. It's sort of like whatever you want to do. Have fun.
But,
live your best.
But I mean, in the meantime, like when we got the call, Tara and I somehow by kismet, we both pulled up in our cars at the same exact time in front of the hotel in Orlando. And she already had crazy eyes on it. And then she told me what we were being considered for and that I already said yes for it. And I had heard nothing because I don't check email. And so there we are talking about it. We stayed up we stayed up too late. And then I know Tara stayed up until, you know, the wee hours of the morning watching past performances.
I got just to kind of do a deep hole.
Get her druthers. And we talked about it while the whole day we were walking around Disney World, and we were both kind of like, well, we want to do it, but we don't want to look like idiots or like we're offending anyone.
But the biggest problem is we have to pick a song.
And they
like
have to be cleared.
Two songs in a day. So it was like one of those moments when someone puts you on the spot and you cannot think of an answer for the life of you. And you're like, have no idea what I would do. Zero idea.
And then, of course, like the first things that come to your mind are like, Hit Me Baby One More Time, The Thong Song, Ice Ice Baby. Like, you know, the classics that you think because it's a live audience of 1,000 people. It's like a little theater situation.
It's like
and
a
you're
full
on stage.
Performance. It's awesome.
A performance, girl.
Performance.
I love a performance. Anyway, we decide, yes, we're going to do it. And it's a strange situation because Tara and I were in a head-to-head battle.
Which we hate.
We despise it. And we don't compete. The last time we competed in anything was in Rio when we were filming a piece about fencing where we were learning how to do it.
And you stuck me in the rib.
I stabbed Tara because I got overly competitive.
Overly into it. And I had a red mark in between my rib. And then I thought something was definitely punctured.
Definitely punctured. Tara also thought that I hated her and wanted her dead.
And I might have shed a tear.
Because she took it very literally. Meanwhile, it just got competitive. And I'm not a competitive person. I'd say you're a lot more competitive than I am in a lot of ways.
In some ways. I'm so opposite. There's almost something wrong with me.
Because
like even the show, they're like, okay, please say something. Because it's like all in good fun, Tara. Like they had to prompt. Like, and I'm like, oh, Johnny's gonna be so amazing. He's gonna win. I can't wait. Like, and they're like, no, Tara, say something. Like,
say something trash talk him.
Yeah, and I was like,
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't get in there because I didn't want you to lose or win. I just wanted us to be able to go out together and get through it. And we were both nervous, right, guys? Because Tara's good at bopping and weaving, and I'm good at posing. And, like, that doesn't necessarily translate to a full stage dance performance when you're lip syncing and you become a famous musical artist.
And they put so much behind it, which is a lot of fun. Like,
money is what we're saying. There's a lot of money behind it.
I mean, it is insane. Like I was saying, just the set backstage, everything. And then you have a choreographer where you come in the morning, you're working with them for a few hours, and you have like 12 backup dancers. And then you have someone doing your costumes.
Hair and
literally
makeup.
Making it from scratch. You give them your measurements, and they do a full-on outrageous costume. You have amazing hair and makeup. You have sets. Like, you could be like, oh, I want to do the song and I have this idea. And they're like, sure, let's bring that in. Like, you could have any set you want. They build it and it looks amazing. It was terrifying, but one of the best experiences. Like, that I had so much fun that night.
Wow. It was an incredible
I want to go back and not do it against you again. I want us to do it together, like a duo competition.
Yeah. I mean, Sonny and Cher and Jay-Z and Beyonce, we're already fully ready.
We know
what we're doing next. But yeah, so it was a full day of rehearsals and costumes. And guys, essentially we could have said we need 3 fire-breathing dragons each, and they would have found a way to get them for us.
Exactly.
So it's they call it turnkey. And Tara and I are not turnkey sort of people. We're really controlling, especially about our environments. And if we're going to appear in a performance setting in front of people. And these videos get like 20 million views on YouTube and stuff. It's crazy. So that's 20 million people that we have to impress. And it's a lot of pressure. So we're controlling and they're just like, whatever you need, we'll do it. And it really was true.
It was incredible. And everyone there, like how they pull that together. And it really is turnkey because I don't know how they get all of it together so quickly and it looks so good. But of course, you know, I don't know how we didn't even talk about this, but during rehearsals, I kept wanting to rehearse because, you know, that's how
that's
I am.
Tara.
And they're like, we're done. And I was like, nope, one more time. And then they're like, I was like, can I just get a section?
just a section. I just need the triple loop and the triple flip together. And after that, I'll be fine. Yeah. So, guys, we did full rehearsals. And then we go to the main stage where we do a run through and then camera blocking, which is so the cameras know when you're going to be hitting a certain position or a move. And I told them, guys, I'm so sorry. I'm not into camera blocking because it needs to come from within. And I'm going to move and it's going to change every time I do it. So good luck. Why don't you just follow me? I'm not good at hitting the same mark over and over and over again. But backup dancers, sets. I stood on a table at one point. I mean, Tara was in a car.
Yeah.
And like, there's so much that went on.
I had two hat changes.
Oh, Jesus. So, yeah. So we do the first performance and you're kind of, they call it the strip down one, when you just wear your own clothes and you lip sync and you're funny. And then you have a quick change and you become these famous singers that you're going to be portraying.
And the quick change is 7 minutes.
7 minutes. But in the meantime, it was a whole day. So we rehearsed in the morning. The performances were in the afternoon. And I had already, okay, I'm going to lay it out there. So I am not an out of shape person. I work out regularly. Next week, I'm getting on the ice to skate and get ready for some performances. I'm not much of a dancer. I don't go out and dance. I'm a sit and judge sort of person. So going through these rehearsals and knowing how hard I have to bring it to compete with the technical excellence that I knew Tara was going to have, I knew I had to be outrageous and weird. So I was doing full-on crawls and kicks and lifts and spinning my head. I was so sore halfway through the day from these dance moves. And then flying home, I couldn't even sit in my seat. I had to get up and walk around because my legs would not work. I was doing full slutty squats. I was flipping my hair. I have bruises the entire way up my inner thighs from slapping myself.
I'm not kidding, Johnny. We're on, it's Tuesday today, and my quads, when I bend down to sit in a chair, I look like I'm 95 years old. Like, my quads will move. My forearms hurt for some reason.
How bad is your neck? Your neck was bad before.
So bad. Can't turn that. But the quads, I mean.
That IT band just will not quit. The squatting and heels.
The squatting and heels. I broke a heel in rehearsal. Oh, man.
Dancing too hard?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, guys, they kept Tara and I separate for the entire day.
Hated it.
Because we were competing and hated it. And also, we were both competing for charity. So whoever won, that there was a sum of money that goes to charity. So they really do take that seriously, that it's a competition and it's all about the battle, right? The lip sync battle. But Tara and I are not those people.
No.
So we both, I'm sure, we sat in these interviews and they were like, well, what's your advantage over your competitor? And I was like, well, she's going to be really well prepared and I guess I'll just stand there and be pretty. Is that an advantage?
So that's what's so funny. Like, my interview took so long. That's why I was late to hair and makeup because I think they were like, okay, what if we feed you a line of like some trash talking? And even then, I was like, I would soften it. Like, I just can't. I just can't. And like I said, when I was there, like, it really doesn't matter who wins. And I know, like,
it's how you play the game.
But but it doesn't matter who wins. I think for us, it was like we kind of still did it together.
Oh, we both.
And it was getting through it. And like, I think they don't realize that like when you bring a team in, like me and you, it's hard to like change that mindset. You know, if I was competing against someone completely unknown to me and I didn't, you know, have any backstory or relationship with,
we would beat the poo out of Ashton Kutcher. Yeah.
So this, though, is like, well, this is my Johnny. So,
well, you know who did get competitive, though? And I've already told you, but I want to tell our listeners as well because they know Todd Kapp well.
Oh, you think Todd Kapp got competitive? I can't wait to tell him this.
Well, no, he has to know because he said things. He said some things.
Was he trying to psych you out?
He was trying to psych me out. And, you know, I'm a competitive person, but it's usually internal. I'm not a trash talker. I'm not a get in someone else's head and mess them up. I'm just like, leave me alone. I'll be quiet. Even now when I see skaters that I competed against, they were always like, we just thought you were such an a-hole because you didn't talk to anyone. I was like, yeah, that's how I got competitive. I'm not going to get in your face. But anyway, Todd Kapp comes from the school of high school basketball. And I guess that's really trash talky and they get real nasty with each other. But I wasn't allowed to see Tara through the whole day, even though we're in one studio and we're across the hallway from each other. We each had like six full-on communist guards that were making sure we didn't see one another. And I saw Todd Kapp when I was walking to the bathroom. And he looks at me, and Todd Kapp's really tall, guys. Like, I have to look up if I'm going to look Todd Kapp in the eye, unless we're all seated at a table, and I have a pillow underneath me. And Todd says, "She's going to kick your ass." And I've only known Todd Kapp to be a lover. I've lifted him. I've hugged him. I've eaten with him. I've drunk with him. I gave my daughter to him. And
you married him as well.
I married him as well. It's real strange, Swiss Family Robinson. But, you know, I have a really loving and tender relationship with Todd Kapp. So he looks at me during this day of filming, because obviously he came and Chelsea came and my team came, and we had backup. I mean, for the majority of the day, I was sitting alone because Lena was hungover and late getting to me. But I was just sitting alone in a room for most of the day, staring at the wall.
I wish I was there.
I know. I mean, that's what sort of I was hoping. They'd let us at least hang out together, but we weren't supposed to know each other's songs. Meanwhile, I told Todd my songs and he told me yours.
Yeah.
She's going to kick your ass. It was like, I don't know. It was like Aretha Franklin talking to Mariah Carey, the way Todd Kapp acted with me. Just real competitive, real, you're going down, sister girl, is how he basically was talking to me. So anyway, he freaked me out, made me nervous and also angry. So then I got the fire, you know, deep down in my belly. Maybe he was trying to help me, actually.
Yeah.
He gave me the fire. I was like, well, I'm going to kick her ass. But then we saw each other finally. We were about to go on stage to do the show open. Meanwhile, LL Cool J, he gives me such vapors, and he has for so many years. I'm just in love with him, and he was the nicest man. Anyway, we're right there, right about to get on stage. We're both in our street looks. Tara was in the cutest little white denim short. I'm also in a white short, but with full train. And full flowing train, but we matched, thank God, both in all white. And we both started doing things that we would do before we skated.
Yeah.
Before we competed or performed. So Tara was kicking her legs like a pony, trying to get her legs warmed up. I was mainlining water because I kept having crazy dry mouth and just could not control myself. It was so nerve-wracking because
well,
you have 2 hours to do this.
You're going out and you're performing, but this is different than, you know, skating where you know what you're doing. You've done it your whole life. You know the audience is there for you to support you. And not that, I mean, the audience was amazing, but still, like, this is like a studio audience. And it's not just like 10 people. There were like 500 people in there.
Yeah, or, you know, I thought it was 10,000, no less. But we started warming up, and then the show got underway, and it was just the most glorious fun. But I disappointed my father. The one thing he told me before I left, because I had, like, a day to get ready and to take the puppy and to pack and do the whole thing. Well, he told me before I left, before I got in the car to leave, Johnny, just do me one favor. And don't dance like a slut.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I could have told him that was going to happen.
Well, we all know that was going to happen. It's me. But it was such glorious fun. We're super thankful to the team at Lip Sync Battle for helping us get ready, to help us get through the event. And, of course, to LL Cool J and Chrissy Teigen, who host the show. And we aren't quite sure of an air date, but we think it's going to be around Olympic time.
Yeah, right? I would assume it's going to be in the winter. It was so fun, guys.
Yeah, we can't wait for you to see it.
Yeah.
I was super proud of Tara. Sitting on the sidelines watching her do something without me, it was a super wow moment.
Yeah. I mean, I can't wait for, like, the camera cutaways to me while you're performing. I was, like, nervous in the beginning. Then you, like, are doing well. Then I'm just, like, really into it. I probably jumped up and down.
I was doing full skater mom. I was trying – well, I was standing next to LL Cool J, and I was trying to, like, groove like he does. But, I mean, he's – he's kind of a burly man, and, you know, he's from that rap R&B world and has that really cool way of just kind of a slither dance. Meanwhile, I'm doing, hey, Mickey, you're so fine, you blow my mind, hey, Tara, hey, Tara. Like, just full mom clap, clapping at inappropriate times, lifting my legs up even though it wasn't my performance, but I can't wait
goodness,
for all of it.
So good.
But right. Anyway, guys, I think that's enough for this week. I have a car. I'm going to New York now.
Ooh.
I'm going to work.
We're going to have to end it. That's it. That's all we got for you.
That's all we can tell
An
you, technically.
An abrupt end. Bye.
An abrupt end. Bye. But we're so thankful to all 69 trillion that listen to our podcast every week. As always, you can follow us on our social media at Tara Lipinski, at Johnny G. Weir, at Tara and Johnny. It's the same across all our platforms. And we'd love to hear from you there and comment. And if you want to be a part of Fan Corner, Fan Call, of course, reach out to us.
Fan Call this week, just a reminder, is your most outrageous travel story. Bring it on. Send descriptive funny emails. Obviously, that's what Jay and I like. So.
Yeah, we like a full story. Don't just say, oh, I have a funny one. Call me. We've gotten a few of those. I've got a doozy for you.
Yeah.
And we also
get
non-specific.
Podcast, I'll let
we get
you know
non-specific,
more.
non-specific emails. So people are like, oh, well, what sort of Campbell soup can were you on, Tara? So we're not accepting those messages either. And you guys should know that there's a whole team of people that read these. So don't send your dirties either. But with all this fun stuff said, I want to send special thoughts and prayers to everyone that's affected by the wildfires on the West Coast.
Yes.
It's so terrifying and horrible. And we're praying for everyone to be safe and to come out unscathed. But, of course, sending all of our prayers and best wishes to people that have been so affected by them. But with all that said, we're so excited to bring you guys some happy every week. And we can't wait to see you next week, right?
Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah. Should we give them the email, though, for fan call? Fan call.
Oh, yeah, one more time. Most outrageous travel story. It's TaraAndJohnnyKall@gmail.com. Tara and Johnny fan call.
No. It's T-A. Okay, guys, listen to me. It's TaraAndJohnnyFanKall@gmail.com.
Is that not what I said?
You forgot the fan. You just did the call.
Oh, okay. I'm tired. I tried to pay for Starbucks with my license today. But in
it
any
happens.
Event, guys, we love you so much. Please write us and be our friends. That's all we want. We want to be your friends.
Join the family. I mean, thank you. Yeah. You know what we really need to do is thank them for listening, since we're now at our 50th episode. It's an awesome milestone, and I hope we can do this forever.
It's a fair to poor milestone. I mean, all we do is really sit and talk like we're on the phone.
But if they weren't listening, we wouldn't get to 50, because then we would just be talking on the phone.
Canceled.
Without anyone listening.
But guys, we love each other so much, and we love you even more. And thank you for listening. And until next time, bye.
Well, we have these balls that you hang on your tree.
Oh, these are
What's
cute.
That made out of?
Something fuzzy.
Coxcomb.
Why do you always correct me, Martha?
This program is brought to you in living color on NBC. The opening and some non-presentation portions were pre-recorded.